From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores. Conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your host, Dr. Kristen Johnston-Largen.
This is Kristen Johnston-Largen with Seminary Explores, and I'm here again with Bhante Sujata, and we've been talking about his life and experiences as a monk in Sri Lanka, and then also how he came to found the Blue Lotus Temple in Woodstock, Illinois, that, interestingly enough, does not serve a Sri Lankan community, but actually serves primarily Americans. Mm-hmm. Bhante, what have you found that has drawn Americans who maybe didn't have experience with Buddhism before? I think most Americans of a certain age would have been raised in the Christian church if they have any religious background at all. Mm-hmm. And they've come to the Blue Lotus Temple. What are they seeking and what do they find there?
I think I can see many people come from the many different directions, right? Mm-hmm. Some people come to Blue Lotus Temple, they are completely tied with the religions.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Some people still they focus on their religions, but they don't get what they want from their religion. Some people come, still they love their religion, but still they're looking for peace and happiness.
Yeah.
And so many different reasons people come, but how I summarize it, people looking for some peace and happiness and harmony in their mind. That's why they come to Blue Lotus Temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how does Buddhism provide that? What do you teach them?
The first thing whoever come to the temple, we smile.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We always smile, no reason. You know, we just welcome them very warmly. We welcome them. And so then we sit with them and talk to them and asking how you feel, what you're looking for. We spend like personal time with that person and really understand what he or she is looking for. Then after I figure out their issues or difficulties, then I'm telling them, if you have your own religion, just respect to that.
Mm-hmm.
Just follow that. If you go to church, please go to that church and don't change your religion and be with that, but still you can meditate with us.
Okay.
Right? Then we are teaching meditation. So I try to change their mind, not change their religions.
Okay.
So
say more about that. Change their mind in what way?
When I talk about change their mind, I'm asking to make their mind peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So then basically what I'm teaching always, whoever come to Blue Lotus Temple, how to practice self-love.
Mm-hmm.
How to practice self-love. So many people who come to the American community, local people who come to Blue Lotus Temple, I can see many people are smiling, but still they are carrying self-hatred and anger. And I call it wounded minds.
Huh.
Because of their relationship issues, maybe family matters, childhood experiences, and abuse, and all those things. Even they are beautiful human beings, they are smiling in front of me. But when I really go deep inside their lives, I can see the wounded minds.
Mm-hmm.
But still they are smiling. So then when I see they are still smiling, I see the possibility to make them happy. I call the Buddha nature within or Jesus nature within, whatever nature, right? And so when I see that, then I, spending time with them, I totally focus. And first thing, when I focus mean I put my total attention and kindness toward this beautiful human being. And not like a counselor or sitting and, doing a job. Because, I'm not, the criticizing those people.
Right.
But I'm not like, oh, I have 1 hour for you, then after that you have to go and come back. I don't have that. If that person need really time, even 2 hours, I spend,
Yeah.
Then after 2 hours, then at lunchtime, then I take him to the lunch,
Yeah.
We give some food.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to sit down and again and talking. And sometimes if they say, I want to sleep, and, then you can sleep at the temple.
Yeah.
So always we are making that person comfortable.
Yeah.
Before we teach him or her how to practice love, we show them what is love.
Yeah.
So that way is really working very well.
Yeah.
So now I'm working with 13 years, except people moving the state or go somewhere else. And other than that, nobody's left Blue Lotus.
Yeah.
The three people I met first time, still they are sitting in front of me. You don't believe it. Because, you know, our place, we have so much love. Because we live with love. We show them love. We respect them, each other. And we care for each other. We stand with them. And so then people feel it, mm-hmm. you know, through their own experience. Mm-hmm. Then after I teach them how to heal their wounded minds, and then they know how to work for the people.
Talk about that. How does that happen? How does meditation, the practice mm-hmm. of meditation, mm-hmm. Facilitate the healing of the wounded
right.
mind?
Mind. You know, so then I'm telling people, you are the most important person, right? So then I'm telling, you know, people, if you really want to be happiest person, spiritually happiest person in the world, you have to be selfish. Right?
That's interesting. Right. That's a difference, right?
Right? Exactly.
You wouldn't expect that.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have to be selfish. People said selfish?
Yeah.
I said yes, you have to be selfish. Why I say that? I'm not talking about selfishness like everyday life. When I have some food, just eat by yourself. Don't care about other people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spiritual journey. If really you want to practice meditation, you have to do by yourself.
Okay.
I can guide you. I can teach you. But you are the one doing it.
Okay.
Right? You know, I had to do for myself. I can do meditation for my mother.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I cannot do my meditation for my father or my loved ones.
Yeah.
So I had to do for myself.
Okay.
So if I do for myself, then easily I can help other people.
Yeah.
I'm always telling people, forget about other people. Forget about other people. Focus on yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Focus on yourself. And if you have problems, solve the problems. Right? So if you solve your own problems, then there is no issue with other people, right?
While
you are totally healed.
Yeah.
So then if there is some issue in the world, then you know how to face to it. Then you know how to handle it. Then you know how to accept it.
Yeah.
Then you know how to let it go.
Yeah.
Right? While you are totally cured yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm always trying to teach people.
Mm-hmm.
You are the one.
Yeah.
I'm telling people all the time, you are the world.
Yeah.
Not what you see.
Yeah.
You are the world.
Yeah.
If you make your world change, then the outer world is totally fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I have so many experiences with so many different people, how much mm-hmm. they change.
Yeah.
And because after they change their inner self, then no need to talk about the outer world.
Yeah.
Then whether I'm telling or not, they will go and do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's very interesting. I mean, I think you point to this connection about, And I think religions, often mm-hmm. there's the idea that, well, you know, and in Christianity mm-hmm. we talk about this, right? You know, kind of mm-hmm. pouring yourself out for others, mm-hmm. sacrificing yourself for others. We use that kind of language. Mm-hmm. But what I hear you saying is before you can even do that, mm-hmm. you have to have a sort yeah. of a healed center. You
right,
have to have
exactly.
a strong
yeah,
self.
Yeah, but you know, the couple of people who come from the religious background here, and they said, you know, we don't have it. Always we educated, do for other people, do for other people.
Right.
You know, share your toys with your brother, something
yeah,
like that, right?
Right?
And always for other people. That's
right.
how we, even it is difficult for ourselves, sometimes we always trying to make other people happy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so then, you know, what happened to people, they stress out. Because
yeah.
always, you know, whatever you're trying to help other people, sometimes we cannot make it.
Yeah.
Even we are trying so hard to make other people happy, still they are complaining.
Yeah.
Right? So if you solve your own problem first, then you can go and help people. Even they are complaining after you help, it's still fine.
Yeah.
So my experience, sometimes people come to the temple and I sit hours and hours and hours and I'm talking to them. And so still they are unhappy. Still they are unhappy. Then, but I'm happy. And so because of their unhappiness, I don't take it as my burden.
Yeah.
But I spend my time. But I don't want to ruin myself.
Yeah.
I think this self-love concept is very important. We mm-hmm. have it in your country.
Yeah.
So the best place to see the self-love, and when you are in an airplane.
Yeah.
Right? They ask us to, before we take off, put your oxygen mask first before you assist other person.
Right, right.
Like that's what Buddha said.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
what is oxygen means? Your life.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't put your oxygen mask, you are in trouble.
Yeah.
And then you put
you
other
can't
people
help anybody else.
Else.
Yeah.
So then we had to, you know, the oxygen means your life, your breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
So taking care of your breath is the meditation.
Yeah.
Taking care of your life is the meditation.
Yeah.
So that's the process. That is the process.
Yeah. So how, so someone comes and they're eager and they want to start studying. Mm-hmm. And so tell me more specifically about the practice of meditation. Mm-hmm. So, and how that.
Then I will explain.
Okay.
Right. I will explain what is meditation.
Yeah.
Why meditation.
Great.
So many time people think meditation means sitting and relaxing their body and mind. It is not.
Yeah.
But meditation, relaxation is part of it. Right, part of the meditation. So the relaxation benefits are temporary. It will come and go,
mm-hmm.
right? But meditation experience benefits are permanent. Why? It is self-discovery.
Oh.
When you meditate, I call it self-discovery. Mm-hmm. You discover about yourself, your feelings, your sensations, your emotions, because of your anger, why I get angry. You are clearly digging to yourself.
Okay.
So right after you figure out yourself, that experience, your own experience, that experience, maybe you forget, but still there. You can get it. You can use it at any time. So then you have to understand the relaxation is temporary. Meditation is permanent, life experience.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm telling people, if you cannot relax, you cannot meditate.
Mm.
Right? First you have to learn how to relax. So then people can go to the deeper meditation practice. But the danger of the relaxation, if you don't have proper guidance or teacher, when we experience relaxation, what will happen? People feel good in the beginning. I call go to a trance.
Uh-huh.
Right? When you go to a trance, then you are there enjoying it. Right after you get out from the trance, you are in the same place. Oh, I use it, what is called the self, hypnotize.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Self hypnotize.
Yeah.
You know, when you relax yourself, you go to a halfway, you are not deep sleep or you are not sleeping. So self hypnotize. So in that experience is good. When you see that experience, when you go and touch that experience, what teacher does, I asking my student, wake up, right?
Yeah.
So wake up and then do something else.
Okay.
So right after that experience, whatever you do, that is real meditation.
Okay.
This makes sense? And otherwise, people always try to relax. That's not, because there is no wisdom involved.
Okay.
So then I teach them how to practice mindfulness, how to practice loving kindness,
mm-hmm.
and I talk about them. And then I guide them, guided meditation. And so then we, step by step, we are taking that person to the deeper meditation practice.
Yeah.
Meditation means cultivation of the mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mental culture, developing the mind.
Yep.
If you don't do that, that's not meditation.
Okay.
Right? Then what we have to cultivate loving kindness, compassion, acceptance, letting go, mindfulness, awareness. We can name it, right?
Yeah.
And so those qualities we have to cultivate day by day. Then we feel good. We feel happy.
Right.
And then, yeah.
So there's a way in which, as you encourage people, so they have to do, I hear you saying, they have to do the work. I mean, they have to come up, what am I feeling and why am I feeling it?
Mm-hmm.
And then is it being able to let those feelings go, mm-hmm. and substituting or cultivating this kind of loving kindness or mindfulness?
So there are other things. It's very interesting. I want to explain here what I really see. Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe you can help, correct me if I'm wrong, So people always, human beings, not here, human beings, they suppress or express.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right? Yeah, that's
right.
What we do, right?
Right,
we suppress or express.
Yeah.
Then Buddha said those are the extreme. Suppress is extreme and express also extreme.
Okay.
Right? And Buddha said don't go to those extremes.
Okay.
Right? Those extremes are not good. Right? So then Buddha said analyze and realize. That's what he said. Analyze and realize. So then how you understand analyzing, how you understand the real. So when you are analyzing things, what we are doing during the meditation, we are analyzing things. What is happening? Why I'm angry? What is happening in my mind? Why I feel this way?
Yeah.
And then you are really digging to the cause.
Yeah.
Right? Then you can see the connection.
Yeah.
Then you see, that's why it's happening in my mind. Then you realize something.
Yeah.
So Buddha said, don't suppress, don't express. The best thing to do, please, analyze and realize.
Yeah. Oh, that, well, and I think what, I mean, again, from my understanding of Buddhism too, is so you know, you're talking about these specific, meditation practices. Right. People come to do that. Mm-hmm. But especially with the cultivation of mindfulness, mm-hmm. right? I mean, the idea is it's not just in this moment mm-hmm. and then you go back and live your regular life, mm-hmm. but you're developing a way that you are existing all the time.
Right, exactly.
Right? And so this becomes a way in which now you're engaging everyone in, right. in your life
so
all the time.
So there's two things we have to understand. Mindfulness training. Mindfulness practice.
Okay.
Right? So when you call meditation, people call meditation practice, we come to the cushion or chair, we call, I'm meditating, right? I'm practicing meditation. But the best word is, it's okay to say practicing meditation, but that is the time we are training ourselves.
Okay.
You know, we are going for the training. We train the mind.
Yeah.
So practice is right after you go out.
Okay.
Right? When you are sitting on the cushion, that's not your real world.
Right. I would never get angry if I just could sit on a cushion.
Then I'm always telling people, don't attach the cushion.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it doesn't matter how many hours you meditate or sit or, you know, do that. I don't, you know, sometimes people come to me, oh, I do meditation every day, you know, few hours or something like that. I do every day 1 hour. I don't care. You know, I'm always telling people, I don't care.
Yeah.
So then people say, oh, but you're so mean. I said, you know why I say that? Then I said, and why I say that, for me, it is matter how you live your life after
yeah.
that. If I don't see whatever you do in the cushion when you go outside with your family or with your children or your co-workers, your meditation is not successful.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, that's meditation all about. You know, then we have to train ourselves, then we have to practice. So then Buddha said a few things, gradually training,
mm-hmm.
gradually practice, and gradually progress. That is the process.
Yeah.
Training, practice, and progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a goal, you know, the slowly, step by step.
Yeah.
And so that's what we have to do.
Do you do ordinations at Blue Lotus? Do
yeah.
people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We
yeah.
always do. Because my first ordination is a woman.
Yeah.
And I ordained the Buddhist nun, American lady.
Okay.
And maybe your age. And so she became a Buddhist nun like 7 years ago. I ordained her.
Uh-huh.
So she's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Right, as a nun.
There are some lineages that don't ordain women though, right? Or what's in Sri Lanka?
Yeah,
is that?
Yeah, that's a part of it, Sri Lanka, because according to the monastic code, right?
Uh-huh.
To traditional monastic code. And so we have to have full ordained Buddhist nuns, 5 of them,
uh-huh.
and full ordained Buddhist monks,
mm-hmm.
you know, to start the order.
Yeah.
So we had the Buddhist, you know, the nuns order, you know, traditionally
uh-huh.
we had it, but later we lost it.
Yeah.
Right? After, then they consider in a Theravada tradition,
yeah.
they don't have Buddhist nuns.
Right.
Right? Now, according to the code, you know, we don't have 5
yeah.
to do that. Then they have, it's very controversial, and then we don't have Buddhist nuns, we cannot do it.
Right. right?
You know, according to that. So then it's controversial and, you know, all the problems are.
yeah.
Then what happened? Group of monks, they did it.
Yeah.
They went to Korea. And they had the Mahayana tradition.
Right.
And they have a full ordained Buddhist nun. And they took Sri Lankan Buddhist women to India. And they came to
okay.
India too. And then they restarted that.
Okay.
Now we have a couple thousand Buddhist nuns in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah,
and so
it's wonderful.
Then I did that too. Then I had a few issues came too, but I didn't care because, you know, I have my seniority is enough to make the decision. And so.
Good for you.
So I did that.
Yeah.
She's doing a great job.
What's the difference? We just have a couple minutes huh? left. What's the difference in a life between someone who's ordained
huh?
and someone who's just a lay Buddhist practitioner?
Right. Lay Buddhist practitioner, you know, like, you know, the, like regular things he or she can do. She can marry and have a kid and have a family and do the, you know, the family things.
Mm-hmm.
Become a monk or nun, they're totally renounced
okay.
from that life.
Okay.
Right? And totally committed for the spiritual life
mm-hmm.
and to our practice, you
mm-hmm.
know, my salvation. And so then if I like, I can do for work for the people, if I like.
Okay.
If not, I can be isolated myself, I can do my things.
Okay.
So that's the difference. So.
Do lay Buddhists, do they take any, like, do they take a, are they vegetarian? Do they drink? Do
yeah,
they,
yeah.
I mean.
You know, usually if we are really good Buddhist practitioner, they have to, you know, follow the 5 guidelines.
Okay, what are those?
You know, no killing, no stealing. No sexual misconduct, no lying, no intoxication.
Okay.
No drugs kind of thing. Those are the five guidelines. Sometimes people break it.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Then people, you know, when they break it, then I say, you know how to fix it now.
Yeah. right. Yeah.
And so if somebody, you know, they break it, we don't say, oh, you are a bad person, you go to hell or something like that. We don't have that.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, redo it. You know, take the determination again and you can become again good person.
Yeah.
And those are the five guidelines, you know, the lay people follow.
Yeah.
And, you know, their household life.
Yeah.
The monks and nuns, they have more.
You have lots more.
Right. They have 128. Nuns have something, 300.
Yeah.
Something like that. They have more. Because of their body and
of
their nature and so on. Yeah.
Right. Well, our time is up and I just want to thank you so much, Bhante. It's been a wonderful, interesting conversation and I hope have a chance to get to see you more when you're here in Gettysburg and wish you every happiness while you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. All the blessings.
All the blessings to you too.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.